Canadian comedian Ron James joining me on the program. How you doing today?
Good, brother.
You are coming to Banff playing another show at the Eric Harvey Theatre, the Banff Centre, on January 30th. This certainly isn't your first time in the Bow Valley and Banff area. Do you have any great memories and stories from past visits?
I think it's been 10 years since I played Banff. I've always had fond memories of Banff. I remember I just finished my show, and it was St. Paddy's Day, and I'd gone downtown to have a pint after the show, and some fans bought me a round of Irish whiskeys, and last I remembered, I was playing Farewell to Nova Scotia on the spoons with a heavy metal band at the bar.
That's awesome. Your tour is actually called Pedal to the Metal Tour. Any particular meaning or reason behind that name?
You know, I mean, I've been touring the country from coast to coast for the last 20 years, brother. You put the pedal to the metal when you're on the road. You're hearing the hum of the asphalt beneath your wheels. And I think when I'm on the stage, I put the pedal to the metal and I give the audience what they paid for over a two-hour period. And, you know, in a world that's constantly driven by hype and spin and doublespeak, I think stand-up comedy still has the same rules it's always had. Get laughs or get off. Notoriety or fame in a television show or a movie will only take you so far once you step in front of that microphone. It'll put people in the theater, but you want people leaving that theater feeling like they've had an authentic live experience. That, to me, is everything. I approach my live shows much the way Keith Richards used to say, the Stones approach their audience, give them what they paid for. You know, I mean, as a Canadian too, you know, because I never had that level of notoriety that comes with American fame, it's been this victory in baby steps, just building a career 1 kilometer at a time over the last 20 across the second greatest national landmass on earth. And, you know, I started out small in small theaters with small audiences and gradually built up. And so this last special I did with CBC at New Year's, we did 1.3 million viewers, and that's my 7th special. So anybody who thinks you catch lightning in a bottle, this 58-year-old is here to tell you nothing happens overnight, brother.
It sounds like you still really enjoy what you do, though.
Oh, buddy, it's everything. It's the life force. Look, man, I saw Springsteen play in Hamilton 2 or 3 years ago, and that 62-year-old cat in the middle of a song threw himself in the air, landed on his back, and sprung back up again. You know, Neil Young is still doing it. You know, the icons of my profession are still on the road. It's where you feel the most alive, is in front of an audience, standing by a microphone, getting laughs, making sense of the world. It's a peculiar calling, but it's a very satisfying one. It gives me great joy to know that I can look down in an audience and see 3 generations of 1 family laughing at the same joke.
How much of your show do you localize, or do you find that the jokes that are funny in St. John's, Newfoundland are just as funny in Banff, Alberta?
Yeah, well, you know, there is a universality to material no matter where you play it. I mean, I've got a long 20-minute run that deals with my own frustrations with Bell customer service. It resonates no matter where I play it. But you always have to localize your material, and I think it's always been one of the rules of the calling. And actually, that's how I developed my first 5 specials for the CBC, was by honing localized material. And so I was able to bring the country that I'd experienced in my travels to a wider audience via television, but it's only been the road and playing these outposts along the Trans-Canada Highway and these big cities and small towns that enabled me to build my craft. You make an effort to understand where you are. It's not just another town. It's a place where people live. It's a place that people care about. It's important for me to have a deference for people in place. I always found it condescending when a big shot comedian, I remember Bill Maher played Massey Hall. I saw him in 2004. At one point, he said, "Hey, do you guys have reality TV up here?" And I thought, "Buddy, why don't you get the Playmate's head off your lap in the back of the limo for a few minutes and step outside your special cocoon of privilege and take a walkabout?" And that's really what my act has been about for the longest time, is taking a walkabout with Canada and Canadians and then stepping beyond the myopic perimeter of my own little world to a wider world of wonders. It's inspired me traveling the country.
That's awesome. Any other TV specials in the works right now?
I just finished my last one, and, you know, to come up with 43 minutes of new material is not an easy task. The Smothers Brothers used to go on the road and hone their act, and some comedians don't change their act for 5 or 6 years. So I do have plans. I'm pitching some shows. I'm writing a book for Random House. But I'm always writing new material. And to give material legs, that takes honing and that takes time. And in a world that's ridden by sound bites and instant gratification, one of the great rewards of comedy is that it just gets better with age. That's what I was enamored with listening to Keith Richards' autobiography in the truck. was he was still humbled in the face of the music. He never thought he'd had it figured out. You know, I find it ironic in my experience now. I mean, I've been lauding the virtues of being Canadian for the last 20 years, and I always looked on as a bit of an anomaly, especially in my calling, that I wasn't chasing the dream south of the border. And people always say, why don't you go to the States? Why don't you go to the States? I said, no, there's something going on here. There's a mystery here. There's an iconography. There's something worth exploring. There's a uniqueness. And lo and behold, there's the big article in the New York Times with Justin Trudeau, right? All the cool, hip Canadians. Now everybody wants to be us. Article in McLean's magazine, talking to folks living in Detroit. Can't wait to get across the border to Windsor. Geez, when Windsor is the holy grail of utopia, you know, Detroit's gone to hell in a handcart. But it's an interesting time to be us. We got a good vibe, man. And I think that that vibe had always been here. But just not Hollywood, man. There's soul. And I think soul is hard to commodify. And I think that's what's enabled me to be rejuvenated every time my wheels hit the asphalt and I point the nose of my truck to the big wide open. Is that, hey, what's around the next corner? I'm going to rediscover the country again. You know, and it's not been without its liabilities and setbacks. It was hard in my marriage. That's over. You know, I missed birthdays and school plays with my kids when I was on the road. But I'm tight with them now, and they know that Dad followed his calling and that everything worth it comes with a price. And chasing the dream across Canada and the grail that I discovered, which is the holy note being sung in people and place, and finding the comedic mileage and hearing those laughs at the far points of frontier, every corner of the country for the last 20 years. Yeah, it's music, man.
Right on. Ron James is coming to the Banff Eric Harvey Theater up at the Banff Center on January the 30th. It's a Saturday night, and tickets are still available. BanffCenter.ca and the Banff Center box office. Ron, thank you so much for joining me on the show today, and looking forward to your big show in
Banff. Very much. I'm looking forward to a bison steak at the Bear.